Our first scripture reading this morning is the 148th Psalm. Hear now the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name above, his name alone is exalted. His glory is above heaven and earth. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, 21st chapter, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the new heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of life." The word of God for the people be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. A new pastor was visiting the homes of his parishioners. And at one house, it seemed obvious that someone was home, but no one came to answer the door, even though he knocked repeatedly. And so he took out one of his cards and he wrote Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 on the back of it, and he stuck it to the door. Well, when the offering was taken the following Sunday, the pastor found his card had been placed in the plate. And along with the verse he had written, he found another cryptic message, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. So after service, he got his Bible to see what that meant, and he began to chuckle. Now, the message he left, Revelations 3:20, reads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, Genesis 3:10 says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, for I was naked." The book of Revelation has long been a mystery to many people. It's filled with strange images. I mean, beasts from the sea and the land, an imperious red dragon, bowls of God's wrath, four horsemen, an apocalyptic battle, and final judgment. And unfortunately, many view this book as a book of prophecy that will be fulfilled sometime in the future. Take the writings literally. Now, my thoughts and my studies take me in an entirely different direction one that are shared by many Christians around the world. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. Hollywood and literature, and I use that term loosely, have taken the imagery of Revelation and focused on a literal, horrific view of the end of the world. In the movie This Is the End, Los Angeles is destroyed by earthquakes, cannibals eat survivors, and the righteous are transported to heaven in beams of blue light. Jokes about the end times were included in the comedy Ghostbusters, in which the ghost-busting team warns, "Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies, rivers and seas boiling, 40 years of dark wave, human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria." Well, yes, the book of Revelation is a mystery. There may not be dogs and cats living together, as Dr. Peter Venkman suggests, but the book may not be about what Hollywood or those, I hope I'm not offending someone, but I would be glad to discuss this with you afterwards, those god-awful left-behind books would have us believe. Those left-behind books that were designed to scare teenagers onto the right path or go to hell. Or not raised, be raised from the dead. Anyway, get rid of the idea that it's a prophecy of future events or that it is in any way literal. It was a prediction made about 90 AD, told through elaborate flowery metaphors and veiled allusions that Christians would suffer greatly under Roman rule over the next couple of centuries, but eventually Christ would triumph. It was a coded message for early Christians, containing, of all things, a message of comfort and hope that this too would pass. It describes the persecution they are suffering. The 666 is actually a code for the Emperor Nero, not some vague antichrist of the future. And contrary to popular opinion, destruction are not the final word in Revelation. The book ends with a vision of a new heaven and a new earth and the restoration of the Garden of Eden. And this is our lesson for this morning. When we turn to the 21st chapter, John sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. This new creation is one in which the past is forgotten. And even the sea, which is a symbol of watery chaos, it's no more. The conclusion of Revelation is the promise of a new relationship with God, both intimate and eternal, in which people live in harmony with God and with all that God has made. This bond is a restoration of the original creation in Genesis, and it contains the best of numerous biblical images, a new heaven and earth, a city, a garden. And despite its accounts of apocalyptic warfare, Revelation is not intended to scare us. It might even be, perhaps, a manual for Christian living. In doing so, we discover that it is speaking to us today. In so many ways, we are struggling with a creation that is enslaved to decay. We look around and we see decay in the fouling of our air, our land, and water, and in natural disasters that threaten our future. And we just went through some of those. We look at our relationships and we see sinful brokenness between friends and colleagues, spouses and family members. We look inside ourselves and we see the deterioration of our morals and our aspirations. Again and again, we see the decay of our democratic principles by leaders only interested in personal power and greed. Now, fortunately, Revelation gives us a vision of a place in which the past is forgotten. Chaos is no more, and creation is free from enslavement to decay. And that's a world we all want to live in. Revelation's vision of a new heaven and a new earth. In this place, creation itself will be liberated from deterioration, redeemed from sin, and moved into a right relationship with God. John sees the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, a gift from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New Jerusalem is the new relationship that God has made with followers of Christ. A bond as loving and faithful as the relationship between newlyweds. This holy city is the beautiful place where God and humans will live together eternally. A city that comes down to earth instead of remaining in heaven. The New Jerusalem vision is meant to be God's vision by which we live our lives right now. In New Jerusalem, the virtues of peace, generosity, freedom, and life replace the old vices of violence, greed, captivity, and death. In this city, the voice of God speaks from the throne. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. God is making it clear that God chooses to live among us, God's people, in a restored and renewed paradise on earth. The loving heart of God is revealed in this passage as it promises that every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And God then says, to the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And this gift of life-giving water reminds us of the importance of the fresh, clean water for the continuation of life on earth. It also points to the importance of this spiritual water given by Jesus when he speaks of a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. In the city of God, good water is needed for life, both physically and spiritually. And finally, Revelation speaks of a garden of Eden, restored in the center of the city. It begins with the spring of the water of life in chapter 21, and then continues with a description of a garden in chapter 22. And this is a powerful message about God's desire for the human world to exist in harmony with one another and with nature. This garden in a city serves as biblical support for practicing creation care today. This is the place where creation is renewed, brokenness is repaired, and curses are removed. The message of the garden is that God wants to heal our world. And we participate in this healing work to a hurting neighbor, provide shelter to a homeless family, mentor a troubled teenager, stand against injustice, or work for reconciliation between fighting family members. The book of Revelation has attracted many cranks and conspiracy theorists over the years. But Revelation is meant to be used by us as we try to align ourselves with God and God's goal for humanity. New heaven, new earth.
a transformed creation. And may we help make it so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.